Queensland has changed a fair bit since 1886. We've upgraded from the horse and cart. Everyone's allowed to vote now. We've stopped sending telegrams and switched to DMs instead. But despite all that change, Queensland's Justices Act hasn't had an update, not in 135 years. That is, until now. Retired District Court Judge Michael Shanahan has been appointed to lead an historic review of the Justices Act of 1886. Michael Shanahan, good morning.
Rebecca, good morning.
135 years, about time?
It has been amended over the years, but in a sort of a piecemeal fashion, depending on particular topics. But it's never been completely reviewed. Much of it is still written in the language of the 19th century. As you say, telegrams, well, a lot of it is still advice by post. There are particular provisions about electronic notification, but the whole scheme of the Act has never been reviewed. And the scheme of the Act is important because it controls the hearing procedures in the Magistrates' Court. And the Magistrates' Court is the first point of contact in any criminal charge. Every criminal matter starts in the Magistrates' Court. Even if they haven't got jurisdiction to deal with it, it goes through a committal process to the higher courts. So the processes in the Magistrates' Court are still controlled by the Justices Act. Figures seem to suggest that the Magistrates' Court does about 95% of the criminal work in the court systems. So it's a major component in our criminal justice system. The Justices Act, and the term itself indicates how old it is. It relates to Justices of the Peace, because it was Justices of the Peace that constituted the courts back then, and that's a system we inherited from England. Eventually, those courts were controlled by police magistrates, then stipendiary magistrates, and now magistrates. But the Act itself is still couched in terms of the Justices of the Peace can do certain things. And there are provisions that say a magistrate can do whatever a Justice of the Peace can do. So it's an old-worldly. Much of it is couched in the language of the 19th century. It's difficult to understand. There's one section that goes for about 12 lines. That's one sentence. And it simply relates to the power to adjourn matters. So the review is to basically repeal the Justices Act and replace it with a Criminal Procedure Act for the Magistrates Court criminal matters.
That sounds like a huge undertaking.
It's quite complicated. The Justices Act has got tendrils in all sorts of other legislation because there's a lot of legislation that creates offences and that gives procedures about prosecuting them, but they're all founded on the Justices Act. So in terms of our time frame, and I should indicate the reason for this is the government, present government, gave a commitment prior to the last election that they'd review the Justices Act, and that was to the Law Society. And this is a result of that commitment. And the intention of the government, as I understand it, is to try and introduce a new act in the term of this parliament, so that means 2024. So I'm charged with reporting on this review by April of next year, with a view to having drafting instructions for a new bill to replace the Justices Act. But that's not the end of it, because there's a lot of ancillary supplementary work to be done then. As I say, there's over 100 Acts of Parliament that actually simply refer to the Justices Act by name, so Yes. Just changing the name will be a chore in itself. But there's a lot of other ramifications, rules of court, forms. There's a lot of things that flow out of this. And they'd all have to be done before you repeal the Justices Act and bring in something in its place.
You are listening to retired District Court Judge Michael Shanahan, who, for the record, I don't think will be having a holiday anytime soon.
I'm retired.
Yeah, this is what you're doing in retirement. He's leading an historic review of the Justices Act of 1886. I mean, you refer to that 112-line sentence in there. How big is the Justices Act?
Oh, it's got about 200-odd sections. Some are very complicated. There's all sorts of old provisions in there about proper notice to be given to parties, but they're very complicated, hard to understand. My writing instructions are to bring in something that is contemporary and effective. So that's the basic underpinning of what the review is going to look at.
Yes. Is part of this, I mean, when you talk about the focus particularly on, you know, the funneling of people through the magistrate's court, is this also recognising that that's a pressure point, that it's a system that's not perhaps functioning fluidly and effectively?
Well, part of this is to try and reduce the numbers of people that actually have to go to court through electronic means or whatever. Now, for instance, Victoria during the COVID epidemic introduced trials conducted remotely, so through video link. And part of this is to investigate electronic means to lessen the court's workload, I suppose. So in the magistrate's court, often when people turn up for a mention or a remand, that's simply to adjourn their matter to another date. They have to attend. And there's all sorts of ramifications of that. If they don't attend, they breach their bail. But why shouldn't there be part of the system that allows that, if they're legally represented, to occur without them having to personally attend? So there's all those sorts of hidden procedures that this bill hopefully will address.
Is that a foregone conclusion, that that will be one of the recommendations or changes you make?
I can't say anything's a foregone conclusion, because part of this is that I consult widely before making decisions. But
yes,
I can't imagine why we wouldn't move to electronic means. The real problem in the magistrates' court is that it's paper-based. The registries in the magistrates' court are overwhelmed with paper. Even when they get something filed electronically, they have to print it off and put it on a paper file. Now, that's not going to change overnight, but if this new act gives them the ability to use electronic filing, electronic files, electronic attendance to give evidence, so what I'm thinking about is some sort of general provision in the new act that allows all those sorts of things to occur. So I'd imagine it is a given. I can't imagine why we'd not allow that sort of thing.
You referenced Victoria there. I mean, in other states, do they have a Justices Act?
No, they mostly have now got Criminal Procedures Act that govern the Magistrates Court.
Right.
It's been attempted here in the past. In 2010, a retired Supreme Court judge, Martin Moynihan, reviewed the Magistrates Court processes and recommended changes, including a review of the Justices Act. The first part of his review came in. It changed what's known as the committal process in the Magistrates Court. But the second part of it, involving a review of the Justice Act, didn't occur. There was a change of government. It was tried again in 2019 on the basis that it would be a Procedures Act for all three levels of the court, the Magistrates Court, the District Court and the Supreme Court. But that failed because it was too big a task in trying to get all three courts to agree, basically, about what procedures should be. So this one is confined to the Magistrates Court procedure, which is a smaller task, but not much less complicated, frankly.
No. 135 years, I mean, that's since the Act was established in 1886. It has been amended through that time. So what kinds of amendments have been made?
Well, they've added in electronic notifications. They changed the committal process as part of the Moynihan reforms.
Mm-hmm.
There's been changes almost every couple of years.
Yes.
Amended piecemeal. And that occurred without any great consideration of other sections of the same Act. So there's a bit of inconsistency. Or with the procedures in other courts. So there's total inconsistency with some of the procedures. Some of the terms are defined differently. Like the term simple offence, which means a minor offence capable of being dealt with in the Magistrates Court, is defined in the Justices Act, but it's got a different definition in the Criminal Code. So although there's been amendments, there hasn't been any sort of global attention given to the impact of those amendments.
Will that flow through and affect things like sentences?
There are restrictions on this. We're not to look at sentences. We're not to look at the jurisdiction of the court, which basically means what sorts of matters each court can deal with. So there's restrictions on the scope of this review because it's basically about procedure. So I can't look at things like the Bail Act and how bail works, the Penalties and Sentences Act, which covers all sentences, the actual jurisdiction of the court, or the reforms brought in by Moynihan in terms of committal processes, although we can play with the edges of that. There's a thing he introduced called registry committals, which is basically a paper committal. And it's become quite cumbersome in terms of the processes in the registry. And I think we're able to look at those processes and try and streamline them. So there are restrictions on the review. So it's not going to look at sentences. Mm. Although we're going to look at diversion out of the court system as a court-based option. You mentioned Victoria. Victoria's got this scheme of what's called deferred prosecutions. And in relation to minor offences, the court can order the offence adjourned without a plea of guilty if the person accepts their responsibility on conditions for a period from 3 months to 12 months. And those conditions, firstly, are that they don't break the law again, but it can be attached to various other things like victim offender mediation or attending on counselling or courses. And if they see that period out, and meet their conditions, then the charge is dropped. So it doesn't move on to a conviction or a sentence, and it doesn't go on their criminal record. It's called deferred prosecution. It was first thought of, I think, in Scotland.
Huh.
And there are other options, like cautions. There is already an ability to send to mediation, and that was one of the amendments that have been made along the way. But there's problems with that in its availability statewide. So some of the things I've got to take into account are the human rights implications of a lot of this, equality before the law, equal access to justice, which means available statewide. While we're not looking at sentences, we can look at diversion out of the court system.
Yes. The week before last, I had a former federal MP, Robert Tignorin, who was up looking. I mean, essentially the message in simple terms from him is that jailing is failing.
Yeah.
You're saying yes? Yes, it is?
Yes. I mean, all the studies seem to suggest that jail, apart from stopping people offending while they're in jail, although they commit offences while they're in jail anyway, doesn't really do much for rehabilitation. So when they return to society, many of them commit more offences and return to jail. So a lot of longitudinal studies suggest that we should be dealing with these sorts of matters in a different way. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you don't send people to jail for serious crimes.
Yes.
I'm very much in favour of diversion at early stages. I was the president of the Children's Court for 7 years. And the sooner you can divert a person, particularly a child, away from offending behaviour, the better it is for everyone. They don't go into jail, they don't go into juvenile detention, they don't go into jail. They become useful members of society. So I'm a great believer in intervention and diversion out of the court system. But that doesn't mean it's for everybody. I mean, there are some offences that are so serious that jail is the only option.
Of course.
But there's a lot of studies going on at the moment about justice reinvestment, which means moving money out of the jail system into earlier intervention programs. Like there's a program going in Dubbo at the moment, which tries to put resources into early intervention. Like a lot of offences, say, are unlicensed driving. And well, what they've done is introduce training to get kids licences so they don't commit offences by not having a driver's licence. So it's a rethink of, I suppose, the way we spend lots and lots of money. I mean, prisons are a very expensive thing. The criminal law is a very blunt tool to try and address social problems. My view is the sooner you can address some of these underlying problems, the better it is for everybody.
And it all starts with the Magistrates Court, which will be the focus of the review conducted by Michael Shanahan, who you're listening to this morning on ABC Radio Brisbane, 7 minutes to 10. My name's Rebecca Levingston. Michael is a retired, in inverted commas, district court judge, but he will lead this review of the Justices Act to first report back in April 2023, a review to be completed in this term of the Palaszczuk government. How big is the team that you're working with, Michael?
I'm told it's 5.5. I don't know how you get a half, but they're legal officers, researchers, there's some secondments from the Law Reform Commission. They're part of the Justice and Attorney General Department. They're all very good.
Has this review been welcomed by the legal sector?
Yes. As I say, it was a response to a letter from the Law Society to each of the parties before the last election, and one of the specific questions was, will you review the Justices Act? It's got bipartisan support, as far as I understand. Everyone we speak to, and we've done a lot of consultation already, indicates that it's overdue and very necessary. In terms of our process, we're about to put out a discussion paper in April containing a fairly high-level summary of what we're looking at and asking specific questions. And there'll be a website set up under the Justice Department banner containing more information and allowing people to make submissions. In other words, identify current problems with the procedures.
The general public to make submissions?
Yes. We want to access... a lot of people in the magistrates' court are unrepresented. Legal aid doesn't cover them in relation to minor crimes, so they represent themselves. So we're trying to work out a system to access those people's and assess their experience in the court system, whether they understand what happens to them, whether it's explained properly, whether the forms work. So all those things are part of the review. I'm supposed to take into account the views of victims and try to work their rights into actual procedures in the magistrates' court. I'm supposed to take into account cultural considerations, particularly in relation to Indigenous people. Did the processes put obstacles in their understanding of it?
Mm.
So it's a pretty wide-ranging review, trying to be contemporary in terms of what the procedures should be.
This task just keeps getting bigger and bigger the more we talk.
Well, as I say to people, I thought 2 years retirement's probably all you need.
Michael, I would love to stay in touch with you throughout because it's complex territory for the average person. Who would have done, who was responsible for the Justices Act in 1886? Who did this 135 years ago?
It was initially worked on by one of Queensland's Chief Justices, Sir James Cockle, who's got a street named after him in the suburb I grew up in, Stafford. It was then taken over by Sir Samuel Griffiths, who was a Premier of Queensland, a Chief Justice of Queensland, a Chief Justice of the High Court, first Chief Justice of the High Court. And he consolidated Cockle's work into the Justices Act. I think he was Premier at the time it got passed. He also drafted the Criminal Code, and it's unusual that there are two different definitions in both the Code and the Justices Act. He was also one of the drafters of the Constitution. So it's got a pretty fair lineage, I would have thought. But having said that, it was drafted in the 19th century.
Are you conscious now of your place in Queensland history?
No.
You should be.
Well, I'd like to get it done, quite frankly. I'd like to be... It's a huge task.
Yes.
And, I mean, as I say, I've got a report in April with new drafting instructions for a new Act. And that takes a lot of consultation.
Yes.
If, say, the starting of proceedings is called complaint and summons, and it's a 19th century procedure. Most other states have moved to other things, notices to appear, notice of court appearance. If you do that, it's got implications on all the prosecution authorities in Queensland, and on our calculations so far, and I'm not saying they're complete, there are over 70 organisations that have got prosecution authorities. There are state government departments, Commonwealth, councils, all of those can prosecute in the magistrates' court. So if we come up with a proposal, we need to run it past all of them to see its implications.
When do you think this should have been done?
2010. With the Moynihan reforms.
Michael Shanahan, you're a busy man. I better let you get back to it. Thank you so much
for your time this morning.
Thank
you for your time. I hope I explained it well.
You did indeed, although there's more conversations to be had. Michael Shanahan, retired district court judge who has been appointed to lead this historic review of the Justices Act 1886. He will be looking for public submissions at some point, so we'll keep you up to date on that. But extraordinary to think. There have been amendments, as Michael said, made over the time, but this is the first major overarching reform in 135 years. In an emergency,